I would now turn the conference over to Bob Stallman, President of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, and thanks to everyone who's joining us this morning for a conversation about what we believe is an extremely important topic. We certainly hope you will help your readers, listeners, and viewers understand all of the elements around this very important issue. Just like we did when the rule was first proposed by EPA, Farm Bureau this time, once again, has thoroughly read and analyzed the final waters of the U.S. rule released by EPA and the Corps of Engineers. And just as we did when the agencies first proposed the rule in April of 2014, we have withheld comment on the final rule until reaching a level of confidence in understanding the fine print and how it will actually impact activities on the ground once enforcement is in the hands of the regulators and the courts. Unfortunately, our analysis of the final rule indicates that it is even worse for farmers and ranchers than the proposed rule was. The biggest example is an even broader and vaguer definition of tributary. The original proposed definition of a tributary was always a big concern of ours because it included barely noticeable channels on the landscape that only carry water when it rains. Under the final rule, though, the agencies will be able to make remote determinations using remote sensing or mapping information and other desktop tools to find indicators that the land ought to have the characteristics that the agencies say indicate a tributary, which is a bed, a bank, and an ordinary high water mark. Now, what that means for landowners like myself is land that does not appear to the naked eye to have a bed, bank, and ordinary high water mark, even to experts that will be standing on the land, could be determined by someone in an office hundreds or thousands of miles away to be a federally regulated water of the U.S. I have no clue why individuals sitting at a desk within EPA or the Corps can determine what will be a water of the U.S. on my land without ever visiting. Such a tributary will be automatically regulated as soon as this rule goes into effect, making the landowner vulnerable to Clean Water Act liability and enforcement, even if he or she has no way to know that a so-called tributary is on his land. And here's another crazy thing. Agency staff can use these same desktop tools to conclude that a tributary used to be there, who knows how far back, and then that land will be regulated too. This look-back concept is new in the final rule. It wasn't in the proposed rule. It gives the agencies even broader power than originally proposed, and it gives farmers and other landowners even less certainty than they had before. As you might expect, we've also been studying what the final rule does about ditches. Farm Bureau branded its campaign last year, Ditch the Rule, in part to draw attention to the issue of ditches. Well, our response to what EPA has done in the final rule is, same ditch, different day. I say that because the only way a ditch will be excluded is if the landowner can show that it isn't a relocated tributary and isn't excavated in a tributary. But for all the reasons I just explained, the landowner has no reasonable way to know whether the agency's desktop tools will find a historical tributary on his land that was relocated. Who knows how long ago with a ditch? The bottom line is that no farmer can look at the ditches that run alongside or within his farm fields and know whether those ditches are waters of the U.S. or not. So much for certainty. We believe the limited ditch exclusion will be a difficult bar to meet, and given the action by Congress, it would appear that they agree. The rule doesn't specify who has to show that a ditch was not excavated in a tributary and did not relocate a tributary, but the smart money says it's the landowner's burden. The agencies have given themselves plenty of room to regulate most ditches as waters of the U.S. So unless a farmer asks the agencies to make a jurisdictional determination using all their tools to determine whether some natural ephemeral drainage path existed in the past, which would have had a bed, bank, and ordinary high water mark, and to determine whether the flow in that drainage was historically diverted by a ditch on the farmer's land, maybe decades ago or even longer, The farmer remains under a large cloud of Clean Water Act liability for any incidental amounts of fertilizer, pesticides, or anything else that falls into a ditch. In summary, after a vigorous comment period during which thousands of farmers and ranchers, small businesses, state and local governments, and others expressed very serious concerns about how the rule would affect them, instead of addressing those concerns, the agencies have, instead, doubled down on their regulatory expansion. In a moment, I'll turn the call over to our professional staff who are experts on this issue and have combed through this rule to go into more detail and answer whatever questions you may have. But first, I'd like to stress that America's farmers and ranchers and other small business owners are looking to Congress to press the reset button on this rule. We all want clean water, but such a worthy goal is worth doing right. The Senate needs to pass S. 1140, the Federal Water Quality Protection Act, to force EPA and the Corps to engage in real dialogue with those who will be regulated by the rule and start over. On today's call with me is AFBF water quality expert Don Parrish and our general counsel Ellen Steen. They have led our team in analyzing this rule to see just how far EPA's reach extends on America's farmland. I'll turn the call over to Don, and then Ellen will chime in as needed, and I will remain on the line and will be happy to answer any questions you have afterwards. Don?
Thank you, President Solomon, and I would just like to emphasize for the folks on the call some of the very specific language that's in EPA's proposed rule, as well as some of the language that's in the preamble. I'm going to begin by comparing the language that EPA had in the proposed rule with regard to the definition of tributary, and I'm going to read it. The proposed rule required the presence of a bed bank in ordinary high watermark, and I emphasize the actual presence, including flows that sometime reach downstream waters. In the final rule, there's no need for the presence of an actual bed bank in ordinary high watermark, only the presence of physical indicators of a bed bank in ordinary high watermark. And what is interesting about finding those indicators, those physical indicators, is that EPA will be able to look not only at past conditions, as President Stallman has already emphasized, but they will be able to use tools that are not available to the public to do that. The second issue, and President Stallman has already addressed the issue of ditches, but if you look at the proposed final regulation, ditches are defined as tributaries, and the exclusions are some have created a conundrum for farmers and ranchers through a circular logic. By being able to look back, it is going to be very difficult for farmers to understand when the tributary may have been excavated or relocated. And there is no time scale for the agency to limit themselves in terms of that look back. With regard to adjacent waters, this is going to be associated with the tributaries and potentially invisible tributaries, and those features that are going to be determined to be next to those will automatically be regulated as well. Erosion features. One of the issues that farmers and ranchers has raised the most concern about is going to be regulated unless they meet the exclusion, and the exclusion is they don't contain a bed bank in ordinary high watermark. That is a really interesting conundrum because EPA actually put more uncertainty into the preamble by saying that many of these features actually have bed bank and ordinary high watermarks. With regard to isolated features, they should not be regulated under the Supreme Court precedent, but we have at least five categories that effectively will be regulated all across the country. The rule does provide some bright lines, but the distance thresholds make many of those bright lines less than clear and create a lot of uncertainty. In fact, the agencies have determined, even within their economic analysis, that a vast majority of the nation's water features are located within the 4,000-foot covered tributary scale or traditional navigable water, interstate water, or territorial sea scale. So virtually all of the bright lines are going to overlap with one another to give EPA effectively the ability to regulate all water. With regard to the exclusions, I want to call your attention to the term dry land. They're not exclusions unless they're conducted in dry land. And lastly, the real interesting conundrum that EPA has developed here is the lack of clarity on how to define water and dry land. Water is defined extremely broadly to include natural and man-made aquatic systems, and it can be identified either by the water contained in these aquatic systems or, and I underline specifically, or the chemical, physical, or biological indicators. So you have an extremely broad and uncertain definition of water, and then the agencies have refused to define what dry land is. Dry land is something that isn't water. Therefore, in order to meet an exclusion, the agency has to tell you that you're not a water, because I don't think farmers and ranchers are going to be able to make that determination on their own. This really technically and effectively gives the agency the discretion to regulate where and when on the landscape they want to, or it's going to effectively give the courts the opportunity to implement this rule to the detriment of farmers and ranchers.
Thank you, Don, and I'll see if Ellen Steen on our general counsel has any comments.
Thank you, President Stallman. Yes, I would just like to point out among the other documents that we're releasing today, there's one that highlights some of the misinformation that's coming out from EPA that's aimed right at farmers and ranchers and the rural American community. And it really is a marketing campaign, and it is highly deceptive, and it's aimed at persuading farmers and ranchers that they're not going to be affected by this rule, and that life isn't going to change under this rule, and that farming activities are not going to be subject to wide-scale federal permitting requirements. And those are false statements, and we've rebutted some of those statements in some of the papers that we put out. And so I would just like to be sure that message is coming out from us loud and clear, that when this rule goes into effect, and that's going to be 60 days after it appears in the Federal Register, the lawsuits may not come the first week and they may not come the second week, but enforcement of this law is coming. It's coming to the countryside, and when it hits, life is going to change significantly for a lot of farmers and ranchers, and we want them to be aware of that, and if they don't like the sound of it, we want them to contact their senators and their representatives in Congress and help us stop this.
Thank you, Ellen, and once again to all of you, thank you for being here. I guess it is my hope that as journalists and members of the media that, you know, you would ask EPA directly some of the very questions we've raised and see if you can get a straight answer, because we have not been able to get a straight answer.